I wish we were all that enthusiastic. We have been in the Sermon on the Mount for quite some time now, Standards of the Master, and we continue on in that, Matthew chapter 5. If you're turning your Bibles, we've been on it. I tell you, I haven't had a more enjoyable, but yet more tattooed as far as my soul has been just burnt every time that I study these lessons. And so today will be very similar. The lesson will be going the second mile. So, see if we can get this thing started. I've got to learn to do this. So, going the second mile, Matthew chapter 5, 38 through 42. If you would, stand to your feet. We'll read and we'll reverence God's Word, the reading of God's Word. It says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other also to him. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away." Father, for a few minutes, I pray in Jesus' name you'll show us what it is that you're trying to teach us today. I thank you, God, for your word. I thank you for time we could gather together. We ask you just to reveal your word to us, and Lord, may we be obedient to it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Going the second mile. Justice and law are a necessity, would you not say, as to function in a civilized state. Without justice and law, where would we be? Where would we be? And the idea of an eye for an eye, lex talionis, goes back even past Old Testament time, even to some of the greatest codes of Hammurabi, all these things that go way back. And so law and justice have been a part of mankind since the very beginning. And it's a necessary part, but it's also this eye for eye. It's not a tooth and claw kind of thinking. I don't want us to think of it as that. I want us to get to the bottom of what is it that it's dealing with when Jesus is saying an eye for an eye. You've heard it, an eye for an eye, and we'll look at that in a minute, but he's talking about the punishment of crime. Crime and punishment, and how even in our systems today that the punishment of crime, it should go together. Whatever the crime, the punishment should fit the crime. It shouldn't be more or it shouldn't be less. And so I want us to see as we work that out that we'll see that done, that that's what the law was given for to begin with. And so you think about anger and retaliation and retribution and how that's just part of our nature, human nature. I'm going to tell you something. If we're not careful, we'll pride ourselves on that. Yeah, you go ahead and smack me and see what you get in return. I mean, come on, let's be honest. We'll pride ourselves on that. And so Jesus is going to really deal with this whole idea of this mindset of our human nature. Remember, as we're in the Sermon on the Mount, we first started out with the Beatitudes, and he was saying, this is what kingdom citizens should look like. This is how my children should function, and how the Beatitudes were just the jump start of what the rest of these messages would be. And he's still in this. He's dealing with the Pharisees, the scribes, and how what they had taken and what they had done with the law and what they had made it into was nothing what God's Word had meant for it to be. You know, we'll do that, won't we? As human beings, we'll take a good thing and we'll mess it up. How many people can say amen to that? But Jesus never meant for, and he's letting them know that on this sermon on the side of the hill, and he's speaking to this crowd that speaks to us today. He's talking about not what our actions, not as much as what we do, is who we are. And who we are, our actions will follow. Who we are, our actions will follow. Do you know that sooner or later, you'll tell your own self what you believe, what you think, the principles that you live by will come out in your actions. And so he's dealing with who we are. Being, if you please. And this morning I want us to look at this mindset as he's delving into very difficult scriptures this morning, okay? Very difficult to grasp on what he's trying to get a hold of, but yet very simplistic if we don't make it so difficult. And what he's dealing with today. And so we'll look at this principle of going the second mile. And the first principle is the principle of the law. Look at verse 38, if you will. Verse 38, it says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I want you to know that he's referring to scriptures. Exodus 21, 21 and 22 says, here's what it says. I want you to read it, or you don't have to read it, but listen to me. It says, if men fight and hurt a woman with a child, so that she gives birth prematurely, yet no harm follows, he shall surely be punished accordingly as the woman's husband imposes on him. And he shall pay as the judges determine. But if any harm follows, then you shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. That's the first time that it's used, Exodus 21. And it's dealing with, it's in that section, think about 21, it comes right after 20. Exodus 20 is the Ten Commandments, it's the giving of the law, it's dealing with the judicial system. How do people rule? How is it that we deal when you think about all the Israelites out there in the desert, over 2 million of them? You better have some law and order, hadn't you? Even though they're God's chosen people, look, here we are. We need law and order, and we need parameters that we go by. I want you to know today, this is our parameter, okay? Just in case, take all the, I hope I didn't still show. This is our parameter. We go by this, God's people. No opinion, not how I feel. Oh, I just don't feel like it. It doesn't have anything to do with feeling. It has to do with what does God's word say, and we live by it in obedience. And so, Jesus is letting them know, you've heard it said. Yes, it was said, Exodus 21. Also, Leviticus 24, which is similar. It's teaching, Leviticus is given the law. This is how it looked. This is how we handle crimes. This is how we handle disruptions. This is how things are handled. Leviticus 24, 19 through 20, it says, if a man causes disfigurement of his neighbor as he has done, so it shall be done to him. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. As this causes disfigurement of the man, so it shall be done to him. That's Leviticus 24. And then Deuteronomy 19. Deuteronomy is Deutero, which is second. Nomos is law. Deuteronomy, second giving of the law. And Deuteronomy 19, your eye shall not pity. Life shall be for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. And so he's talking about, you've heard that said. This is what is said in my own. And he's talking about, here's what it's dealing with. It's dealing with the judicial system. It's dealing with crimes, how we handle crimes. But you know what the scribes and Pharisees had done? They had taken it as a personal level. And we'll deal with that in just a minute when Jesus is going to show the correction of it. But order was given as a reason for the law. He said, this is the law. This is the reason for it. It's to keep order, to keep things in check, all these things. And he's saying that was why it was given. And the punishment must fit the crime. Now, that's where we get our death penalty. We say, and wherever you fall on it, a lot of it is based on this punishment should fit the crime kind of thinking. And so this is something that goes way back, this understanding. And the perversion of the rabbinic tradition was that each man, he thought, was taking that personally. In effect, they become their own judge, jury, executioner. It was talking about personal vengeance. Now, I'm going to date myself. Do you remember 1980s Charles Bronson movies, right? What were Death Wish, right? The law wouldn't take care of it. What, Charles Bronson? You believe in Jesus? Yeah, you better be. Get ready to meet him. Those Charles Bronson movies. And we all, and he go, what you know what he became? A vigilante. A vigilante takes the law into his own hands. It takes this justice. It takes this perversion of the justice and says, hey, what about one of the biggest feuds that's ever taken place? Hatfield and McCoy's, right? Kentucky and West Virginia line. Went on for centuries. Families, what? One got killed, they'd kill another. Right? Back and forth, back and forth. And so it's taking it to the extreme. Listen, you don't live by this. If somebody in the parking lot at Walmart, right, backs into your car, boom, what do? You back up and say, okay, I'm hitting somebody up, boom. I mean, seriously, it's foolishness when we think of it in that way, in this retaliation, this personal vendetta, personal vengeance. Jesus is getting to the heart of the matter, and the matter is a matter of the heart. That's the problem. And the Pharisees constantly changed these things. The application was, it was their right. Come on now. We live in America, and we have rights, and boy, we wear that out. It's their right and duty to make sure that this justice got done. Personally, what would that be like? It would be like the old West, wouldn't it? The gunslingers. God didn't make men equal. Colonel Colt did, the old saying of the West. And they would gunsling. They just, you know, they'd settle it on the streets. That's what it would be like today without the law and the order that we have. And so we see they took a legalistic outlook on rights. If we're not careful, sitting right here in this room, we do the same thing. We think we have certain rights, and those rights will supersede the house of God, the family of God, everything that goes on. We think that these rights go above everything else. If we're not careful, we miss the whole mark of what Jesus is trying to teach us on the Sermon on the Mount. And you know what he's going to deal with? Me, self. Now let's be honest. Our biggest problem is me, ourselves. In fact, Jesus said, if anybody is going to come after me, what did he say he'd do? Deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. Jesus realized the thing that we need to crucify on our crosses was me, ourselves. My biggest problem is standing right here on this stage. And Jesus is dealing with this selfish mindset, this idea of rights that supersedes everything else. And if we're not careful, we'll buy right into that same kind of thinking. I want us to think about it. It's not a vigilante mindset. It's not us getting even, tit for tat. It's but us representing a kingdom. And I want you to see the perspective of Christ on verse 39 through 42. And he says, but I tell you, he said, you've heard this, but I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. He said, oh, Dave, you already got some hard fight. And then he said, if anyone wants to sue you, boy, we're living in that day now. Everybody wants to sue somebody for something. It ain't no wonder that our medical bills is jacked up out of sight because the doctor, he's scared to do anything. Somebody's going to sue him. If anyone wants to sue you, take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asked, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. What Jesus is going, he's going to give us this perspective of Christ. He's going to give us some illustrations. He's not telling us, don't take a misinterpretation of this scripture. He's not saying be a pacifist, be a doormat, okay? He's not saying that. We'll see what he's doing. He's going to deal with, again, our greatest enemy is dealing with our selfishness. He's dealing with our pride. He's dealing with that which does not honor God. He's not telling you to be a doormat, just let everybody run over you, okay? What's he going to tell? We're going to work that out. He's dealing with self. It's dealing with, in as it means, to personal pride, dignity, all these things, security, possessions, and we're going to work that out in his illustrations. We'll see that. But he makes this statement, do not resist an evil person. And he's not saying don't stand against evil, okay? All scripture, we see that. We stand against, as the children of God, as the church of God, we stand against the evil of the world. But what's he making his comment? He's talking about that personal, the personal interaction with people right here. He's saying that person that walks up, listen. Yeah, go ahead. I'll show him something. Don't bring a knife to a gunfight. All these things. I mean, I want us to see we find ourselves in this. Do not resist. Set it, you know what he's talking about? Don't set against or oppose the harm that's done to you personally. When people come and they don't, here, you know what the problem is? Lost people are going to act like lost people. When are we going to get over that? Oh, I can't believe that. Lost people act like lost people. It's when God's people act like that we should be aghast, okay? But lost people are going to act like lost people. Our objective should be to win the lost. To seek and save that which is lost. That's why Jesus came. And so he's going to tell us, and the only way we're going to do that is to die for ourselves. These four illustrations will show us. And it's not a complete list on what we have to do with every circumstance or condition, okay? It's just dealing with this dying to self that God's called us to be his children. And this is how. First, turning the other cheek. Verse 39, look what it says. And this is the difficult one for most of us. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. Now, the only way you get smacked by a right-handed person on the right cheek is a backhand, okay? Think about it. You can't hit that right cheek. It's a backhand. And for a Jew, that was the most detestable thing for somebody to come up and backhand you. It was demeaning. I mean, it'd be pretty demeaning for us, right? But for them, it just meant it was the worst thing that could happen. Most demeaning thing. And it's dealing with our dignity. We have dignity, right? We're proud people if we're not careful. We're not going to allow anybody to slap us in the face for no reason at all. And Jesus is dealing with this. He's saying, you know, he's talking about getting rid of the spirit, not that somebody just run over you, but get rid of the spirit of retaliation. You don't retaliate when people are going to do you wrong. Why is that? We represent the master. What if the master would have done that? What if Jesus came to this old earth to give his life on a cross? What if everything he got, he gave back? We would all be lost. There would be no reason for us even to be sitting here. And you know what he's saying? You are my representative here on this earth. I want you to represent me. Do not go by the world standing and human nature. Oh, it's just being human. Jesus said, I came that you could get over just being human, but that you can have a Savior and you can have the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within you, that you can overcome these things of retaliation. Don't do it, he's saying. And that's what he's getting at. He said, don't worry about your dignity. Don't worry about somebody making you look bad. Think about you making the Savior look bad. He said, that's what he's dealing with. He's dealing on the physical level, our instincts. That's just instinct. Let's say, what do I want to do? I mean, let's be honest. Or if somebody do that to your kid, that'd probably even be worse. We'd be like Mama Bear, right? Claws come out. The moment I'm hit, I want to hit back. And this is the Lord's concern, that idea of vengeance, that human nature, that self that he's trying to weed out of me. In fact, he says, listen, he says in Romans chapter 12, 19, vengeance is mine. The Lord says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. That's whether by deed or by tongue. He said, I'll take care of those things. Don't you. It's not your place. Your place is to represent me to the world. He said, I am not to be concerned about myself, but here's the deal. I'm to be concerned about others, the weak, the helpless, those that are being taken advantage of. I'm supposed to be concerned about them. You see, it's not about me. It's standing up for the rights. Think about when Jesus, he was smacked. Remember, they smacked Jesus, and he turned. And in fact, when they did that, did he turn out of cheek? He said, "Why are you smacking me?" In fact, what he said, "Why are you smacking me? It's not lawful for you to do that." It wasn't that he was being vengeful back to them, but he was showing them they're wrong because they were basing their actions, their principles, and it wasn't on the Word of God. But yet, when it came time, it was personal. He plucked out his beard and put a crown of thorns on his back. They opened his back up with a cat of nine's tail, and they nailed him to a cross. And he never said a word. Why? Because he saw you. You see, we stand up for the helpless, the homeless. We stand up for those that are in need. But it's not about a personal thing. It's not about a self. It's not about drawing attention to us. It's about pointing to a Savior. And that's our motivation. And so he's dealing with this dignity. The Lord's dealing with that spirit of retaliation and revenge when I'm insulted. But not only that, not only the turning the other cheek, but look, the cloak and the coat, verse 40, what it says. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And it's dealing with security there. Not all our dignity first, but our security. We're secure. Sue us is the idea of a man suing in court. And he's suing for the inner garment. We know that the law states you can't sue a man for his coat because that was the way that he stayed warm at night. That was his blanket. But they had like a tunic, a long robe underneath. In fact, they cast lots for Jesus, if you remember. And so that, when you went to the court, and it's showing that apparently this guy had a right to take them to court. He's not saying that. And he's suing them. He's saying, don't get the mindset that, hey, he's not talking about somebody that's trying to rob us, but it's a legitimate claim. When a person had no money or possessions, the court often would require a fine or judgment to be paid in clothing. Clothing meant something. It wasn't, I don't have a fanfare. They didn't have a closet full of clothes and nothing to wear. But clothes was a possession that was very valuable to them. And so if you didn't have anything else, they would sue for the clothes. And then it shows that if a legal judgment is fairly against us for a certain amount, we should be willing to offer even more in order to show our regret for any wrong we have done to the one that's suing us, and we're not bitter or resentful. Wow. How difficult is that? Jesus is saying, listen, somebody's suing you, they want something, offer them more. Why? Because our security is found in him, not in the things that we have, but in him, and he'll bring that even out more. in the next couple. But the attitude of a kingdom citizen is one who is truly righteous before God. Should be a willingness to surrender even one's coat, his extremely valuable outer garment, rather than cause offense and hard feelings with the adversary. Goodness. Willing to sacrifice what it is to keep from causing offense. Listen, that's not taught a whole lot in America, okay? That's not taught a whole lot in our churches. Willing to sacrifice whatever to keep from resentful, hard feelings because of offense. We don't stop there, but going the second mile. Look at verse 41. He's given these four illustrations of how we are to deal. It says, and whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Now, I want you to understand this is a custom that was common in the ancient world, and it came under conquered people, okay? It's a constant reminder that Rome's in domination, okay? You're living in Jerusalem, be like us here, and whoever would conquer us, we have no even earthly idea that even entered in our mind. It's so foreign to us. Guess what? They felt the same way. They never thought they'd ever be conquered by anyone. Why? They're God's people. They're untouchables. And yet here they stood under Roman dominance, and a Roman soldier at any time could commandeer anybody. Or if he had baggage to move, anything to do with the government, Rome. He's just talking about liberty here. Look, it wasn't really truly free at any time because he could come up and say, I need you to take, yes, a Roman mile. So they could go a mile. They were required by law to pick up whatever it was, even if it's a soldier's backpack, and carry it for a mile. Jesus said, don't stop there. That was the custom. And can you imagine as an Israelite how that would make you feel at any time? You could be working real hard. Look, you're out digging potatoes, right? Oh, the freezing. I got to get these potatoes out, and the ground's finally dry. And a Roman soldier comes by and says, hey, quit digging potatoes. I need you to carry this up the hill for a mile. And you had to do it. How would you feel about that? He's talking our liberty. He's letting them know, especially when we go beyond what's demanded. You know, we resent what's demanded by the government many times. Come on, let's say amen. We resent what's demanded by the government many times, especially when we don't agree with the government. But Jesus is saying, don't let that hamper you. Do it willingly. Go beyond what's demanded. You know why? Why would we go beyond what's demanded? To point people to a Savior. Listen, you are not going to point anybody if you're no different from the world. You act like the world. You respond as the world. You know what? You're not going to be drawing anybody to the Savior. But when you do those things, when your heart is to point people, to let people know, yes, hey, I'll take it. Hey, I won't stop here. Let's go on this second mile. Look, they're asking, who is this guy? What's his problem? Why is he so different? Why is she so different? What is it? Why is she so cheerful? Man, the last time a guy got to carry the pack, I thought I was going to have to beat him that last quarter mile. Why is he so cheerful? You know why? Because you say, let me tell you about something. Let me tell you about one that died for me and died for you also. Let me share his good news. You see, when people see something different in our lives, they're drawn to that. This world is hopeless. You turn on your news, this world is hopeless. It's looking for something to place its hope in. You only have the greatest thing that it's looking for. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within you. People need that. They need to hear about that hope. Point them. When you live this way, when you live by these standards, when you don't live by the world's standard, you earn that right to say, tell me what's different about you. Oh, let me tell you, my friend, what happened to me. This person's different. As Christians, our state of mind and spiritual condition should be that no power, we don't have anything that can insult us. Why? Because we're based on a foundation that's Jesus Christ that cannot be moved. The world can frail and go on and make fun and say things and sue and smack and all these other things and make us do work, commandeer us. But listen, we can't be moved while we have a foundation that's Christ. Lastly, giving and lending, verse 42. Give to him who asks, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. It's talking about property now. So we're dignity, security, liberty, and property. Now we're getting into that place, Liz, that says, when I have to hold on to what is mine all the time, what's mine is mine. listen, here's the deal. I can't give to others because I might need it. Keep what you can what you can't. That's it. Well, that mindset of not giving to anybody. I might need it. You know what that's considered? Self first. It's taking care of your own. What you've been taught, if you're not careful, you might have been taught your own. You take care of yourself, boy, nobody else will. If we're not careful, that mindset is not a biblical mindset, okay? It's not. Jesus said that we should look and take care of others also. We're not talking, now listen, I'm not talking about helping frauds or professional beggars or drunkards, okay? They get out and they make money and you can't help it. And some of them, what's so bad is they've ruined it for legitimate people that need help, right? They're panhandlers. And they get out and they make their living, make more money than you do by begging. It's not talking about that. It's talking about legitimate needs. And Jesus said he wants us to be generous people. He wants us to genuinely help. Look what he said in 1 John 3:17 and 18. He said, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and truth. He's talking about seeing a need, seeing a great thing, and having a generous heart. Not, hey, there's nothing wrong with having things. It's when things have you that's the problem, okay? Hello, does anybody know what I'm talking about? Nothing wrong with having things. But it's when things have of them, that's all that we live for, where that's where we put our security in. I don't know about you, but that stock market, if that's all you're putting your security in, that thing goes up and down, and China belches and we get indigestion. Okay? I'm serious. If that's what you're putting your worth in, that's sad. Nothing wrong with having stocks and being in the stock market. It's when that's all you put your security in and that's all you trust in. It's Jesus. It's that understanding that it's all His. Every bit of it. Every bit of it's His. Every penny that you got. Everything that you got's His. It's our business to help others. I'm going to tell you something when we read this. He's dealing with getting self out of the way, getting pride out of the way, getting what it's all about, number one, taking care of number one. He's saying, no, I'm number one. I'm on the throne. And I'm the one that you're supposed to obey and walk with. And when you do that, you know what? You're helping others. You're loving others. You're loving your fellow man. You're pointing people to the Savior. It's not about, it's a mindset. We're not winning. Okay, tit for tat. I get smacked. You're going to get a big one. Like, go ahead, they smacked my Savior too. Let me tell you about it. People sue, let me hear it. Go ahead. I would rather you sue me and take this than to defame the name of Jesus. My liberty, there's liberty. How many men are truly free? The only ones I know is Christ said, I came to this life to give you abundant life. And those that are free shall be free indeed. You want to be free, choose the Savior. You can find freedom no matter where you're at. Property. God says, you know what? He blessed, and we talked about Abraham in our Sunday school lesson. Donnie did a great job today. Abraham was blessed. He had possessions. He had so many things. God had blessed him abundantly. But you know what? His greatest thing was he had God. It wasn't that his things had him. Every time he stopped, you know what he did? He worshiped. He made an altar to God. It wasn't that his things were, he wasn't worried about when he come to the point of him and Lot making a decision. He wasn't going to say, listen, I'm the patriarch. I'll take the green grass down there next to Sodom and Gomorrah. Did he? But he said, you choose. I'll go wherever. You know why? Because he knew he had God. It didn't matter where he was at. God was with him. The grass was always going to be green where God was. And I'm going to tell you that same nephew that it hurt his feelings, it took advantage of him, or you could say that, whenever he got in trouble, what did Abraham do? Packed up his people, went and kicked some royal rear end. The five kings, and you know what? They took all this, amassed all this more wealth from these kings. And you know what he said? I won't take a penny out of it. Not a penny. Why? He said, I don't want anybody to ever think that anybody else made me rich but God. That's a real man right there. Listen, dignity, security, liberty, and property, if we're not careful, that's our inalienable rights as an American. You're a citizen
of America, but you're also a citizen of heaven. And that citizenship in heaven supersedes even that citizenship of America. And these things, the only reason we have any of these things is because we serve a Savior that died on an old rugged cross for us. The only reason we're sitting here. If you've never received Christ, you don't even know what I'm talking about. You just know, wait, I'm missing out on something. Don't miss out on it. We're getting ready to have our time of commitment here. How's God spoke to you today? Are you quick to retaliate? Are you that person? Whatever your name you might take. Oh, I'm a Cooper. We don't take no junk. Serious. Are you quick to retaliate? You know what? I'm a Christian. That supersedes being a Cooper. When the Spirit of God came to dwell within me, He's supposed to change me. Not always. It don't always come out that way, but it always goes back to that. And I'm convicted. Is your focus on yourself or the things of God? What's your focus on this morning? Are you worried? Are you concerned? You might be going through the worst financial period of your life, and you're worried and concerned that you don't know what's going to happen. God's in control. Give it to Him. Number three, when was the last time you looked to see who you could help? A lot of hurting people. Doug and Shelly making a difference, helping. Help Doug and Shelly help people if you're looking for ways to do it. Plenty of things that you can do. They're all around you. Little old snotty-nosed kids that ain't got a meal. Don't even get a meal. You think in America they have to go to school to get a meal. Happens all around you. Do you ever even think about helping, doing your part? Let's stand to our feet. We won't have any singing today, just playing. But listen. Give you opportunity to respond. However God spoke to your heart, there's something you need to lay down today, lay it down. If you know that you've been dealing with selfishness and parts of your own thing, put it on the altar. If you don't have Christ, come and see me. I'll show you the way that you can be led to the Lord through the Word of God. However He wants to do it, let's do it. Bow our heads. Let's have a time just bowing our heads. You need to respond. You come forward now. Get on the old altar and say, God, help me. If you don't know Jesus, this will be your time. That's good, Linda. I'm not gonna milk it out. You know if God spoke to your heart or not. Listen. Coming to an altar, maybe it's foreign to you. If you need to see me, see me afterwards. We're going to have revival over at, or we're going to preach revival. Nobody can bring revival except the Lord Himself. Over at Tabernacle tonight, 6:30. Come on, be a part of that. Be a great encouragement to Brother Gary and Bertie. And so come out. The choir will be singing tonight, so make sure, choir, you come out. So listen, I love you. However God's dealing with your heart, be obedient. Just follow Him in obedience. Lee closes the